This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 361 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Brain Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stebbing.
Bill Harris.
And Melissa McDowell.
Melissa's the only one that's not playing with backgrounds, but then her background is awesome.
Yeah, we don't mess with perfection.
Yeah.
I can't take credit for my partner's like 40-year-old Led Zeppelin poster.
It is hanging behind me. It's really wicked.
It is very rad. I also actually, surprisingly, I also have a poster, a 40-year-old poster that Dan has that's hanging on a wall. It's of Lamborghinis.
Oh. Wow.
He used to have it hanging in his bedroom wall, and now it's in the hallway.
So do those Lamborghinis have armadillos in their pants like Robert Plant? No. Okay.
No.
No, armadillos.
This is why I always set up here, because I know that shirtless Robert Plant distracts Bill Harris every time we record.
It's really like Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
There are worse things.
It's true.
David O. Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to have a poster of Minor Threat behind you. So that's like my other favorite band. So,
no. Yeah. I'm feeling low energy. I don't know why. But maybe the movie has something to do with it.
Could be.
Guys.
Steve liked it.
Yeah, well, but Steve.
Sorry, tell.
He would like it, but it was kind of mediocre on it. Like 3.5 is not like
it.
Leaving.
It honestly kind of felt like a cult film of the 90s. Like, it's just like big swings.
Yeah, big swings is right.
It's really big swings. Jessie Buckley fucking rocks. She's just so committed. And I didn't mind Christian Bale. It felt like an Andy Warhol film. That's honestly what it felt like to me.
Well, to me, every time Jessie Buckley was not on the screen overacting, this film was unwatchable.
I'm kind of on the Bill side of this equation.
Unwatchable.
I appreciate that, yes, they gave her like $82 million to make this thing, and I appreciate that it's different, but I need more than taking big swings to be able to watch a movie.
Yeah, one of them eventually has to hit.
Yeah. It's so bad. Like I don't even like even the Mary Shelley voiceover shit. Like that looks bad. Like, is it supposed to look bad on purpose?
The person I was with like elbowed me in the ribs. Is like, what the fuck is this?
Dan legit. Dan looked at me and he's like, like the biggest sigh. He's like, oh brother. I wish that there was something here. Like I can appreciate some of the choices that she makes, and I love that this movie, like Annette Bening, I haven't seen in forever. It was really fun to see her, and she seems to be having a great time here. I needed more. Like I needed something, and I needed more than just Jessie Buckley being over the top. Like, she's great, but we know she's great.
Yeah.
Like, I needed some substance. I needed something. Just something. Anything.
Look, she got her Jupiter ascending before the inevitable happens.
True.
Right? It's something.
I actually know somebody who likes Jupiter ascending, and his name might be Adrian Charlie. There you go.
Wow.
I don't hate that movie.
But the elf space rollerblader. Played by Elf Dog. He's an Elf Dog rollerblader.
Look, Channing Tatum is great.
The cosmic that movie is variety.
It's at least that's fun. Like, this isn't fun.
No, like, and I can, it's cool that she's taking a huge swing there. I like movies that take huge swings, but it just has to work occasionally for me to actually maybe like it, and doesn't work. Yeah. What is Penelope Cruz, Peter Skarsgård, Jake Gyllenhaal,
What is the,
okay, what are they doing in this film?
What is the deal with Jake Gyllenhaal's character? Like, I don't even understand.
I understand it. It's there to like forward a plot about how he likes musicals, but at the same time, it's just like,
okay, that putting on the Ritz number is so bad.
So was this a musical or did it just have musical sequences?
No, it just has a few choreography sequences.
It's a Bonnie and Clyde remake.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound terrible, but.
I guess it's pretty terrible.
Peter Sarsgaard's character is able to see the future because he talks about women astronauts at one point, and this is supposed to take place in the 30s.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, wait a second. Astronauts?
I don't know. I think for me, quite honestly, the best parts of this movie are the makeup. Jesse Buckley's makeup is awesome.
And I think maybe that splatter thing makes sense in some way. Okay.
They explain it.
I don't know if it makes sense. Yeah. Like the whole reanimation thing is just weird. Like Annette Bening is walking around like spewing all this stuff that's supposed to be, I guess, technical mumbo jumbo that like makes no sense to anybody, including like it just makes no sense.
But how come the original version had like lightning and shit?
We have this electricity like now.
A machine in the background lights up.
Well, it's the 30s, man. There's we don't need lightning. We've got electricity.
No, but we got CG now and
but I mean
artificial intelligence makes some fucking lightning.
But the thing is, like I think when she's talking about like powering up the machine, doesn't she say it blacks out the block? And then nothing happens to the block when she actually reanimates. I don't know.
No, there's actually a scene where like two light bulbs are on the screen and like a flash is going to go between them. That's how they reanimate the Jesse Buckley character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just like, cool. All right. That one works.
Yeah. I have nothing to say. I just really didn't care for this.
The best part is like right after it, I texted Marina. I'm like, Dan's going to love it.
Yeah. And I knew I was in trouble. I didn't say anything to him because I'm like, oh my God, he's going to fucking abandon me at the theater.
Poor Dan.
He's taking one for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. No, I just.
And unfortunately, it's weird. Like I got to the theater and I was the only person there and it was 2 minutes before the movie started on opening night. And I'm like, shit.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
I'm actually surprised it's as high as it is on Letterboxd, to be completely honest.
Yeah, and after Warner's huge year last year, kaboom with two films already. Like, yeah, I know people liked Wuthering Heights, but I got nothing for this film. It's terrible. Sorry, Steve. Yeah. Love you, buddy. But
No worries.
Yeah. No. I mean, I appreciate that she's taking a chance, but
yeah,
I really needed, like you say, Bill, like we needed some of those.
And it cost, you know, $80 something million.
82.
And probably 82. $40 million to these would be like half of the budget on PN industry and all that stuff. But like it made $7 million this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it making that much anyways.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. It's an art film, if anything, and not a major release. And it should have been on 500 screens and hope that it got word of mouth. But it's, yeah, sucks. But, you know, her last movie was great.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, it's that movie hurt. Yeah, that movie hurt.
Yeah. Even with whatever I liked of it, I wouldn't recommend it.
Nice.
And with that note,
it's just too fucking weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's just too fucking weird. It's just hard. It's hard. It's not wide appeal to it. So
it's so sad. The movie ended and it has a needle drop at the end. I'm like, that's the best fucking part of the movie.
It is a really good needle drop. I was really blown at that because that's a a hilarious one. I thought that was funny.
I was happy to see Fever Ray. I haven't seen Fever Ray in like a decade. So that was fun. And that was
Yeah. Yeah, John Majerus was good. How about that? There you go. I like him.
Hey, Penelope Cruz's outfit was amazing.
Oh, she's terrible in it, though.
She is terrible. Everybody is terrible in this. Come on. Aside from Buckley, who just, you know, she just needed more.
Yeah.
She was just very at 15 the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of you right now, Melissa. Like,
I was like apologizing for not doing the homework. And no. I was like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I guess we made the right call to do gardening on a sunny day instead of sitting in a dark movie theater.
I think you did. I think you did. I haven't watched very much of anything else. So let me banter off the things that I've been watching, which I finally watched Magic Farm, which Melissa, I think you had seen at some point last year.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. It's like the weirdest little movie. I kind of really enjoyed it. It's such a great concept. It's
like,
so wacky.
Yeah. It's really weird, but it's such a great concept.
Agreed. It's very off kilter, but I really rather enjoyed it at the end of the day. And Camilla Del Camp is amazing. I really, really liked her. So I'd love to see her in more stuff. But yeah, that was like the one movie that I watched. I'm like, let's finally clear this off the hard drive.
Holy crap, this is going to be a 30-minute episode.
I know, it's going to be amazing. Season 2 of Paradise is hitting all the notes. Fucking love the show. So good. I text Bill after every episode. Dude! Amazing.
Nice to see Shailene. I like Shailene.
It's very nice to see Shailene Woodley. She's fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, season 2 has been great so far. And season 2 of The Pitt, also hitting on all cylinders. That show is amazing. Love. All the Noah Wiley love. That's all I have. That's literally all I've been watching.
Can I be the guy that's never seen The Pitt and you guys don't laugh at me? Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I haven't. I actually haven't either.
Oh, cool. We're the only two people.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I really do want to see it. I've been reading some really great stuff about the most recent episode and how it dealt with sexual assault and rape kits and victim services. And yeah, like everyone in the everyone who works in that sector they're all praising that episode for how sensitive and realistic it was. So it's definitely on my list.
Yeah. And not just that episode. I think in general, the show just tackles some like common things that you never really consider in really interesting ways. Like they have an episode where one of the patients that comes in is mute, and like they're having issues with, they can't get an interpreter to come in to do sign language. So they try to get a computer that keeps like conking out. Like the whole thing is like really, really interesting. And they have a doctor that's autistic that they deal with in interesting ways. I think just overall, the show is just doing things that are really interesting and really great, realistic ways. Generally speaking, the commentary has always been very positive. And quite honestly, it's just a really, really great show to watch. Like Dan and I love it. And every time we watch an episode, we're like, where's the next episode? We have to wait a week. No. So, and every episode is 1 hour in the emergency room. So you sometimes get the story over multiple hours, but I highly, highly recommend it. It's a really great show. And that's all I've seen. I mean, I've seen other crap, but it's crap. So
I watch a bunch of other HBO. I watch like Industry. The Game of Thrones show was started off a little iffy, then got really good.
Oh, okay. Because I've watched
the ending was really great. And okay. The final episode is incredibly beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. And there's a new show called DTF St. Louis. Jason Bateman.
David Harbour. Okay.
David Harbour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has the funniest final scene of a television show I've seen in a very long time. I laughed really hard.
Oh.
It's in sign language.
Nice. Nice.
It's so good.
Okay.
I quite liked it. And other TV shows I watched. But that's about it, I think. I don't really watch a lot of television other than those ones. And Marshalls, I watched the first episode.
Is it bad?
It's very procedural. It's nothing really major.
Completely different than the whole Yellowstone thing. Casey went off and became a modern cowboy. Essentially, that's what happened.
The cop show.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was great either.
I think it's a little fresh, honestly, because it does feel like a, you know, like a sheriff and his posse type thing. That's honestly what it feels like. And it's kind of a throwback using the template of, because like he was like special forces or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, so he has a whole history and they're just digging into that.
So there's a new CIA show called CIA with Tom Ellis. The only reason I'd consider watching it.
Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Exactly. I'm like, this may be a reason to watch this, but is it really a reason to watch? So not great. But yeah. So yeah, that's literally all I've watched.
Wow.
Bill, you might as well go next to you.
Yeah, sure. I'll go. I saw the Paul McCartney documentary, Man on the Run, the new Morgan Neville documentary. It's quite good. It's really well made.
He's a good filmmaker.
Yeah. And Paul McCartney's a pretty interesting guy.
I love him. I like that he's still a big music kid, even at his age. Like, he's still just as enamored and just still just as curious and stuff.
And the Beatles broke up and he moved to Scotland and started raising sheep.
Well, he was like worried, right? Like, there has to be a whole, like, maybe not with John, because identity didn't seem to be an issue for him as much as the other three.
Yeah.
I mean, just the trepidation of like, who's going to care? Without the other three, who's going to give a shit?
I also totally forgot that Paul McCartney got arrested in Japan for bringing a big bag of weed in. And he just totally forgot about it because he's Paul McCartney. And I think it's like legitimately huge. It's like, holy fuck, man. And
how do you forget you're walking around with a giant bag of weed?
Like, yeah, but he's Paul McCartney. So he was out in like 4 days. But like, it's like drugs are really bad in Japan. So he probably could have gone to jail for 7 years, but didn't.
Yeah.
And like all the outside the jail, there's always little screaming Japanese girls going, it's pretty awesome. It's a really fun documentary. And Wings was also a really great band, really underrated. And I like it quite a bit. Usually I watch these and know a lot. I knew a lot of this, but it's still really watchable. It's a pretty good recommend for me. Scream 7 is terrible.
I might as well get it out of the way too. I'll pick on your stuff here. I boycotted. I really do.
I do too.
I mean, I really didn't have anything else to bring to the radio that week. But because it was Scream 7, there wasn't really a lot being released for that week anyway. So it's just like, here we go. And like they spent $500,000 for Guy Busick to write that.
Yeah.
After this pivot, I don't know. I'm okay with 5 and 6 in this storyline they were setting up with the Carpenter sisters, and the fact that Melissa Barrera's character, Sam, was going to be, I sense she was going to be Ghostface by this film. That's what I think the trajectory was. Well, she's Billy Loomis's kid. They were setting this whole, the footsteps. Like, Radio Silence actually did a solid job to pivot away from the original Woodsboro characters and made the ultimate act in the last film by killing Dewey to like really set it on its own path as well. Cause they were going to basically shelve Gale as well. And then just kind of like forged through with these new characters. And fucking Spyglass put an end to that.
Do you remember when like the opening scene, the person who got killed was like a prestige role?
Yeah.
They got the blonde from Landman.
Yeah.
The daughter who sucks.
Yeah, she's terrible.
And I'm like, killer. Killer.
Isn't Sid's daughter also played by another Sheridan alumni?
Yeah, Isabel May.
So they just like raided Tyler Sheridan's casting.
Wow,
it's Paramount. It's Paramount, right?
Oh, I guess.
So yeah, they would. That was the well they went to, and I don't know how many times you can stab Mason Gooding in a movie, in a Scream movie. And he's just
many times as you want.
The Ghostface reveal is so inconsequential and almost like so on the nose too. And also leaves a gaping black hole in one of the killings in the movie. And it's so flippantly dealt with that it's just like, okay, like I don't even understand.
So this is a bit of a spoiler, but I really don't care. Sydney starts getting like video calls and she obviously knows they're AI. And I'm like, congratulations, Kevin Williamson. You just made AI a character in your Scream film.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah. They're brilliant. And like, how the fuck would they know what Stu would look like as like 30 years later and crushed by a television? Like, I don't, there's just so much stupidity in this film. And above all, without
context is really great. Like, I just have to say.
And above all, this movie is not scary in the least, not even a little bit. Even with a couple of that was kind of a cool kill, but who I don't fucking care about any person in it. So if they get killed, I don't care. Like I don't give a shit.
Near the end, I was just like, just make Nev the fucking killer.
Yeah, it might be more interesting.
At least I would be interested in that. You know, why not? Like,
it would be like High Tension, though.
Yeah,
like she was chasing herself, and
that they'd never do it though. That's too much. And like the only thing that was cool about it was like, oh, that's Ethan Embry. He's cool.
Yeah,
not in this film, but he's cool.
No.
Yeah, like fuck, I hate this movie.
Yeah, this movie is
and it sucks too. Because last episode, I was like, I'm not going to see it. And some friends went, they're like, you like movies? I'm like, I do. Let's go see Scream. come on. Oh, yeah, it's really bad.
Actively rolling my eyes throughout this movie.
Yeah. I saw a 3-hour documentary on video stores called Video Heaven from Alex Ross Perry.
Nice.
It's quite good, but it's very niche. Like, it's literally legitimately just him talking about video stores for 3 hours and showing clips of people in movies going to video stores. Lots of Clerks.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was. I liked it. I'm a nerd. What can I say? I knew all the movies, and I knew, you know, Blockbuster didn't have adult movies because they were, you know, high and mighty and all this stuff. And, you know, they talked about that. And, you know, they talked about adult movies and showed the Simpsons episode where Mo went into the adult room and picked out like David Lynch movies because they were adult. Like the Simpsons. It's great. Yeah, it's a really long documentary, but if you're a nerd like me, you'll probably dig it. So it's on VOD. Man, I watched some shit films this episode. War Machine, the new Rickman movie. I didn't know what this movie was, actually. I thought it was just going to be like a war movie, and then a fucking alien giant robot shows up.
And starts blasting people. That's the part that I thought was interesting, is the violence and the gore in it keeps me going in that.
Yeah, movie. No, that part was fine, but it's just the rest of it. It's just like, so generic.
Patrick Hughes has come a long way since Red Hill, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And like Isai Morales. Isai Morales is in it, and Dennis Quaid's in it.
Dennis Quaid legit looks awful in it. He looks horrendous. And I'm like, you know what? Nothing can happen to a better guy.
Yeah.
And shittier and shittier.
And Jai Courtney's in it for like 37 seconds.
Oh,
I know. It's like wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
He should have been in the whole entire film packing some heat, like just killing aliens.
It's a really cool thing for Stephen James, though, to do an action film and then basically be immobilized for the rest of the whole film.
And like Jai Courtney's like running around and like, why is there a shark here? I'm going to kill it.
Yeah. With a boomerang.
Because that movie fucking rules. So War Machine is a film my father will really love.
Yeah. Is that a recommendation? It's an actioner. Yeah. It's going to get viewings because of Reacher.
You know?
And it's Reacher with PTSD.
Yeah. I don't think he takes his shirt off or flexes once in the entire film.
Missed opportunity. No strength stuff in this one. No. It's just leadership, okay?
Yeah, his whole strength thing, he like he's underwater and can't breathe and he passes out almost dies. Yeah, it's okay.
It's got some cool kills.
Yeah, it's yeah, people will watch it because they'll be on the Netflix top 10 and they'll probably have a fun time. I'm just a snob. Yeah, there you go.
So I'll like it.
Probably. Dan might like it. You never know. So last week at the BAFTA Awards, a man named John Davison said an unfortunate word to Delroy Lindo and Michael B. Jordan. And it was, he was part of being there for a film called I Swear, because John Davison has Tourette's. And he says stuff out of the blue. He can't stop it. It just happens. And, you know, it's rather unfortunate, but I'm thinking, I now want to see this movie. Because the guy who is the main person in the film won an award at the event, and Timothy Chalamet. So I'm like, okay, I want to see this film. So I asked around, got a link. And it's a completely generic, kind of crappy film about Tourette's. Like, the characters are good, like the main actor is really good, but it's so like made for TV movie, to the point where it's like title cards at the end. It just drove me nuts. But it has some good actors, like Peter Mullins in it, and Shirley Henderson's in it, and it's I hate generic made for TV movies. Like it, but it was in a theater. I wanted to see it. I've seen it. It opens like next month here. I'm sure it's going to die a horrible death, but I saw it. There you go. Yeah, I swear.
That's the guy that plays Elrond in the Rings of Power.
Yeah.
That's why he looks familiar. I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, he looks familiar from somewhere.
Yeah. And early and the young Ned from Game of Thrones.
Oh, fuck. I totally forgot. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, there is one funny scene in the beginning of the film. He's about to get an award from the Queen, and he's talking about how he's afraid he's going to say something. And as soon as he walks in, he like calls somebody a cunt or something. It was pretty funny. So, yeah,
I just think it's so unfortunate the whole like why they didn't edit that out of the broadcast is beyond me. And then apparently there was a microphone like really close to his chair, which obviously was intentional.
Yeah,
it felt rather exploitive. Then, you know, like
for sure.
So yeah, the whole thing just feels really gross. And then like I understand having compassion for someone who can't control what they're saying, but I think there needed to be a bit more care taken with Delroy and Michael. I mean, that was just really 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 jarring. Like even just seeing the clip of it was so jarring.
100% agree.
Props to them for being so freaking classy about it. And like,
I don't know how they managed to do that. And I'm glad that they had a good night after that. But yeah, just really, really poor behavior on the part of the BAFTAs.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. 100%.
That's it for me. That's all I see. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go next, Melissa? Or?
I can't. Oh, we're really shaking it up this week. Yeah,
that's right. I'll go last.
I'm confused.
So am I.
I don't have a ton of stuff. I don't have a ton of stuff either. But I caught up with The Ugly Stepsister, which is playing on Shudder and is the Cinderella reframing that we've all been waiting for.
Hell yeah.
This time with body horror.
It's really fun, unless you really hate body horror, in which case you're not going to have a good time with this, especially with the tapeworm scene. Let's just say that. This is pretty great. It's I kind of loved it. I love that it's sort of a commentary on the labor and effort of women vying for the attention of incredibly mediocre men, because this prince is no prince. Nope. Like, he's not worth it. Just the insane lengths that people will go to for beauty standards. It's pretty great. I also caught up with The Moment, Charlie XCX film. I think this is ballsy as hell. Like, I'm not sure it was great. Like, I don't think I would watch it again, maybe. But I do think it was like a pretty courageous way to do a film about Brat, you know, like I think it was like tongue firmly in cheek, some kind of interesting commentary on instant fame and the pressure of matching like a colossal hit album. I thought it was pretty interesting that she played around with her own image in this way. I just think that's super ballsy. And go Charlie.
What did you think of the actual visuals?
It feels like an amateur film, but which is kind of the point, I think.
Yeah, I found it hard to watch. Just me.
Not as hard as the Johannes directed sequence of her in the horrible green outfit and makeup. Really bad.
So bad.
Were you as enthralled by Kylie Jenner as the person behind me was when I saw it theatrically?
No, but then I appreciated her being in it so much more because it is like sort of a spoof.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like again, like yeah, she put Kylie Jenner in her movie, but is it the most flattering picture of Kylie Jenner? I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't say so.
No,
me either.
I mean, I like that's pretty great if you can make fun of someone to their face. Never do press interviews with you and the director even. Like, all right, go for it. Go Charlie. And then mostly I've watched super crappy stuff on Amazon. So I'm just going to tell people about these so that you can skip past them. The Bluff. Is the movie great? No. However, Priyanka Chopra Jonas can be an action hero anytime she wants. Like, I was down for that. The movie's kind of lame, but whatever.
You know, I'll watch it because Carl Urban is also in it. So yeah. There's Arena written all over it.
Yeah. I mean, and Carl Urban's hot in it.
Excellent. That's all I need.
Yeah. Like I said, like, how old is Priyanka?
I don't know.
No idea.
She's 40.
Probably.
I think so.
You know, 40-year-old women action heroes, totally down for that.
Every time
43.
Every time you say her name, I think of the Weezer song. My name is Jonas, but that's just me.
I added the Jonas to be kind, but honestly, I still think of her as Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
And then I watched a gay body horror called Swallowed. Again, this had so much potential. And like the gay villain is played by Mark Patton, who is like
Nightmare on Elm Street 2's Mark Patton.
Oh wow.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Nice.
That's crazy. Holy
yeah. So like, but I don't want to oversell this because if you watch it, you're gonna be disappointed. except if you like seeing a lot of penis, because there's a lot of penis in this gay body horror movie. But there was not enough horror.
Jenna Malone is in it.
Yes, Jenna Malone is in it. Yeah. Jenna Malone, a lot of penis, and Mark Patton, but not enough horror. Definitely not enough horror. I also watched Stone Cold Fox.
Oh, so bad.
I don't know any of these movies. Where are you finding this stuff?
Amazon Prime top 10.
They're terrible. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But Sentimental Value is on there too. So maybe just watch that instead. Like, please watch Sentimental Value and skip all of these ridiculous movies.
But Shun and Kipra is so fun to watch. I just wish the movie was.
Jeez, and they put her in another 80s themed movie, which
they need to find another. Something else to do with her.
But industry.
That movie was incredibly poorly written. Like, I don't understand why.
It's bad.
Yeah. They had actually a pretty solid cast, but just terrible writing. Terrible writing. So that's it. And then just on the book front. So I read Hamnet. And I read Die, My Love, because I was just really curious about the source material for these two movies that we all really enjoyed. And the book version of Hamnet, I would say the film for me hit stronger. I think because they kind of they edited quite a bit. Like, there's a lot of characters from the book that aren't included in the movie. And I feel like in the movie, those initial scenes really establish Hamnet, and the audience cares so much about him. So then what happens, like, kind of affects us in a way that I'm not sure there was enough character establishment in the book version. I think it relies quite heavily on the fact that there's going to be sympathy for a mother that's going through that regardless. But what I really appreciated was Zhao's attention to creating a rapport between the audience and that character to kick things off. And then, of course, that amazing final scene in the movie doesn't really happen in the book. So I just thought it was interesting to read that. And then Die My Love, this is again, like, Lynn Ramsey is a fucking genius, like a visionary genius. Like, this book is stream of consciousness from a woman going through severe postpartum depression. You are not sure if things are happening, if they're in her head when she walks through the glass door, for example. It's not, I don't know if she did that or if it was just something like that she was thinking about doing. It's quite a bit. It's even darker than the film, if you could believe that.
Wow.
Where it ends up is quite a bit darker than where the film kind of ambiguously ends. And there's no way reading this book I would not have pictured, because it's all interiority. It's, you're in this woman's head for 161 pages. And I cannot believe that Lynn Ramsey read that and thought this should be a movie, and like came up with the visual representation of what this was and how to translate those emotions and feelings into this visual presentation on film. Like, she's just an absolute genius. This is the second book where I've read the book and thought, how the hell did anyone make a movie out of this? And the first one was We Need to Talk About Kevin, and then Die My Love. Like, both of them are just, it's insane to me that she thought that these would make films and then pulled them off so incredibly well. So, yeah. That's me.
I want to read it now.
Okay. Lurker, Alex Russell's film, just about a bunch of jagged people, essentially, stepping on throats to, I don't know, get to satisfy your own egos. Theodore Pellerin's really compelling in this one, as is Archie Madekwe.
He's so good. And,
yeah, there's just such a rawness to Alex Russell's work. We've seen it in Beef, seen it in The Bear, I knew that I would like this one. I was really looking forward to it, and I just never caught up with it till now. And I dug it. And good on for MUBI for putting it out on physical disc. I really, as Bill can attest to as well, the substance being on 4K and everything. It's good to see a streamer that actually gives a shit about physical media. Scream was fucking horrendous. Dreams, Michelle Franco's new film with Jessica Chastain, who is having this, she's like it's part of like a social, like philanthropy, like with her father and her brother, like a philanthropy group that funds like dance schools and everything. And she's carrying on a relationship with an undocumented dancer from Mexico that keeps like smuggling himself across the border through like coyote services and everything, and like showing up at her doorstep. And it's like a behind closed doors type of thing. And every time they're out in the real world, it like jeopardizes shit. But Jessica Chastain is so like cold in this, and it feels, for her, it feels like an easy to slip into character, if that sounds like, like we've seen it happen many times, Molly's Game, like all these other films that she's done where she's kind of this cold socialite, and it doesn't feel that different, although it has a hell of a last scene in the movie. Like it was just so cold and calculated. And I was like, there's that Franco like flair. He always has that big thing that makes his films memorable. But when you compare it to a film like Sundown, it just doesn't mm-hmm. compare. Though it's still a pretty solid film. I saw a film called Rescue at Donji, or Donji Rescue. It's also known. It's a super like jingoistic Chinese film about the war between China and the occupation of China by the Japanese, and this uprising against the Chinese. And it feels like super puffed out bravado, like an American film, but in a Chinese film. And like, I know the Japanese were brutal to them, but they just feel so mustache twirling in this film that it feels really weird. But it was okay as far as epic filmmaking goes. They definitely spent a pretty penny on this film to get it made. In the morning, just drinking some coffees and watching something stupid, I finally finished off the Rebel Moon series with the second film, The Scar Giver.
Steve.
Oh boy.
How are you doing, buddy?
I don't know. Just looking for something brainless in the morning. And Zack Snyder, like, he just wants to make things pretty, and that's all that matters, I guess. Like, that's all that matters to him. He wants things pretty and in slow-mo, and that's it.
You should have just watched Sucker Punch again then.
I know. Yeah. It's just so bad. And nothing's as bad as Ed Skrein is in this film as the villain. He is just he's just so terrible. Speaking of terrible in every single way, Protector, Mila Jovovich action film. So I guess she's the new Liam Neeson now. And this one's done by Adrian Grunberg, who did the Rambo Last Blood, which was also terrible. It was like Saw meets Rambo. This one has Mila playing a mother tracking down her 20-something daughter who has gone missing into the hands of traffickers, and has one of the most cop-out endings. But that's not even the beginning of this movie's offenses, because it's just badly executed in every single way. Like, scripts, fight, choreography, just everything. It's just nothing works in this film. It's really bad. And it's, I believe this is the first film or an early film for this new studio, Magenta Light Studios. Who has a film coming out May 1st that I think Bill has already brought up with Aaron Eckhart and Ben Kingsley called Deep Water, in which a plane crashes into the ocean and then is circled by sharks.
Sharks!
This doesn't bode well, Marina. This doesn't bode well. I don't know about this Magenta Light. I can't believe The Protector is a theatrically released film.
Once again, those credits better say with Jai Courtney, because he is Shark Man.
As the same
Come on, character. Everyone wants to see Aaron Eckhart get eaten by a shark.
Yes.
Like, yes, come on.
But not as a character, as the actor. Yeah.
I've seen in the company a man I want him to get eaten by sharks.
The Bluff, what I will say about The Bluff is they don't make enough pirate movies anymore.
It's true. They don't.
They do not. And there's some really cool weaponry in that, including like knuckle duster, like closed range gun. And I was like a little bit geeked about that. And they blow a dude away with a cannon. Like, to pieces with a cannon. It's kind of blurred, but they blow him to pieces with a cannon. So I'm an elaborate kills guy, so it kind of worked. Which is why I was okay with War Machine. Bill brought that one up. I'll end off on a good note. Hoppers was fucking great. It's a feel like a real return to form for Pixar. I really, really dug this film. It is such a sweetheart to it. Daniel Chong, the guy that made this one, made a Cartoon Network series called We Bare Bears, which is fucking adorable, and it translates to the big screen. Bobby Moynihan, as well as being in We Bare Bears, plays
King George, the beaver, in this one, and is such a fucking sweetheart. There's so much goodness to this one, and it'll make you miss your grandma.
I'm glad that it's actually good, because the trailer is fucking terrible.
This movie
looks so bad.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's helping it at all. Probably not, but I think it's really good. I feel like for a studio where it feels like the internet is like they want them to fail, and they said they've been deteriorating over a decade or so. I think that this is like one of the better things that they've released.
Yeah, it's trending really high. Dan and I were shocked. I'm like, we may actually have to take the kids to see this. It may actually be good.
It's cute. And John Hamm plays Mayor Jerry in it. And I love John Hamm in a voiceover comedy stuff. He's really funny. And yeah, Kathy Najimy. Kathy Najimy's in this.
All right, you sold me. I'll see it on Tuesday.
There you go. Yeah, I think we'll have to take the kids too.
It's cute as fuck.
Okay, good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Dude.
Holy.
Wow.
Well, you know, since can we can I just say that I am giddy with joy at the takedown of Timothée Chalamet by the opera and ballet.
Did you see the Seattle Opera released it? So the discount code is Timothy for 14% off your ticket. And I was like, you guys are genius, and I love you.
I mean, you legit messed with like some of the most educated people on the planet. Like, dude.
Well, I just like what was the point of what he was talking? Like, he is absolutely losing the Oscar race in real time. Like, this is not helping him.
Doesn't matter.
It's gonna be Michael.
The voting outlet ended last week.
I'm hopeful that it'll be Michael B. Jordan.
Me too.
I think it could be Wagner Mora.
Those are my two choices. I still haven't cast my votes, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I would not be sad about that.
Yeah. Oh, he's so cool in that movie, though.
He is.
Come
so
on,
cool.
in straight in Secret Agent, dude, you can't even see a bead of sweat on that motherfucker. That whole movie, he is uncrackable in the weirdest of situations.
Just the gas station scene alone
is so brilliant. It's so brilliant. Oh. Which makes his nightmare he has towards the end of the movie that much sweeter. Scene plays in the beginning. Oh,
all right. I have a question. Here's your Oscar question for this podcast. Oscars are next week. What's the one thing that can happen that'll make you like fist pump in the air and go, damn, that's awesome? Sort of like the Amy Madigan winning for Weapons Award, because that would be incredible.
Jafar winning.
Yeah. I just want Jafar to have a microphone at this point. Yeah.
Especially given recent events.
Yeah.
And like you said, voting ended a week ago. Maybe it fell further into Jafar Pahani's favor.
Yeah. I still think one battle is going to win, which I'm happy with. It's my favorite movie of last year. But, you know, let Sinners win. I don't care.
I've been telling people a lot that the fact that Sinners got a lot of nominations doesn't exactly mean that Sinners is going to be the dominant film this year.
Yeah, this is going to sound bad, but I just want PTA to win. I don't care.
I do want PTA, but yeah, I do want PTA to win as well. Him or Joaquin Trier.
Kind of getting tired of all of the really great directors and quote unquote not winning Oscars. Like, seriously, like, why doesn't David Fincher have an Oscar? Why didn't Stanley Kubrick have an Oscar? You know, Quentin Tarantino doesn't have a best director, you know, stuff like and how many years it takes Scorsese, Spielberg, blah, 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 to win. Like,
well, maybe that's just an indicator that it's not a great category. Like, it's not a category that really represents.
Oscars are a popularity contest.
Like, would if Jordan Peele got a best director, would he cherish that one more or his writing one for Get Out?
I take the writing one personally.
That's what I think too.
Yeah, like that's, I think that's awesome.
Well, and do you think that's what they'll do with Ryan Coogler as well?
Yeah. I think Coogler's, I think he's winning screenplay. Yeah. I think he's winning a screenplay for sure. He's also, I think he's part of the three circling ones for best director as well. I think Coogler is a good shot at winning best director.
Is it an upset if Sean Penn wins?
No.
And not Stellan?
It's Stellan feels like the gimme. Stellan feels like the Jesse Buckley of his category.
I think
Stellan hasn't won anything since the Golden Globe.
Yeah, like,
he hasn't won Best Supporting in any of the other awards shows.
Who won the actors one?
Sean Penn.
Sean Penn did. Okay.
Yeah. Sean Penn's won the last two.
I still think it's Stellan for Oscar.
Buckley's the only lock.
I think so too. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. She's won absolutely every award so far. So I can't see that going any other way.
Should be interesting. Hopefully it's a quick show. Not like 4 hours long.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
I've cleared my evening. I'm like, I am home that day. Sorry, I got plans. My TV and I have plans.
Conan O'Brien's the host?
Yep. Okay. Again.
Yeah. Nice.
I don't even know. Sure.
Yeah.
Dan and I do our little ballads. Then we drink and we watch the show. And then we go to bed.
Well, who wants to pick a movie? There's like two choices here, and one of them is only legit because I'm weird. Okay, I'll tell you in a minute.
I say there's three.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Colleen Hoover movie, of course.
You know,
even I am on that.
If we're being honest, if I were to watch this one, it'd be the first of her films that I've actually seen.
Don't bring my girl Micah down. Like this movie feels like the
book is bad.
I know, but bad. I love Micah Monroe. She's so good.
So do I, but this looks so bad.
Why is she doing this? I hope she got eight. I hope she's getting the
paycheck.
Yeah.
It's the second ex-con that she's played within a month too, because she was just in a telefilm movie in Cold Light, which is not terrible actually. And it's got Troy Kotsur in it. I adore
I want to see that.
It's not bad. It's like a rural little, like, because it's a small town little thriller.
Yeah, the trailer looked really good. I'm really looking forward to that. But sorry, Bill.
So that's coming. That film's called Reminders of Him.
Yeah.
That will not be the film because I'm pretty sure Melissa would never watch that film.
I won't. I don't even need the garden excuse. I will just not see it.
No. Yeah. Fair.
I'm going to say another one that's I'm actually currently in the middle of this coming out limited release on this coming Friday. I don't know if any of you guys saw it at VIFF, The President's Cake.
I did. It was good.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
It's super harsh in the beginning, though.
Yeah. It's really. Yeah. That little girl.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's good. That was a film I almost got shut out of. I didn't have a ticket until a minute before that film.
Oh shit.
The only film I had to stand in line for, and I was fucking furious.
Don't make Bill angry.
I was about to start emailing people. I have a pass. Yeah, I don't know. It pissed me off. But anyways, this trailer is kind of creepy. Undertone? You guys see this trailer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks effective.
It is effective.
You could do a 1-2 with Monolith in this movie, I guess, right? Because they're like podcast-based horror films. Or you could do a trifecta and put Red Rooms in there.
With the rim shot there. Just hang. I think you probably have to see this in a really good sounding theater because the trailer was like all like voices like Dolby Digitaling around the room kind of thing. So yeah. I'm guessing.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping I get it here.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
That was one of the ones I was saying, the three.
Okay, Dan and I are going to see that. It's happening.
Nice. Nobody was going to see this, but it's a film called The Gates. It has James Vanderbeek in it. And I thought I would say that because rest in peace, James Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
Rick Dawson.
Yeah. So, yeah. Kiki's Delivery Service in IMAX. I'm seeing it on Tuesday because it rules. Yes. They only have one showtime for Japanese, the rest are in English. That kind of seems weird. But I guess people don't like to read. There's a horror film called Slanted, which the slug line is, if I can read my writing here, holy crap. Can't read my writing. It's a shitty horror film. There you go. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secrets of the Ooze comes out again. Re-release. Anybody
Why? Why?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even good. Why? Wow. All right.
Honestly, Preteen Steve wants to fight you right now.
Really?
I will take Preteen Steve.
Preteen Steve? Preteen Steve loved that movie. Can't fault him for that.
Does that have Ninja Rap by Vanilla Ice, or is that
It does, and it has Super Shredder.
Okay.
No.
And the reason that they're doing it is because it's gotten really popular with Gen Alpha.
Yeah,
because they're all watching the show.
Interesting. March 20th, Project Hail Mary. The book is not good, but the story is good. He's a shitty writer.
Weird. I was reading that it's the preferred book of Andy Weir's writing.
He's not a good writer, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. He got The Martian out of it, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It just sounds like the same voice again. Like, it's another kind of smarmy, sarcastic, like, know-it-all guy.
Because that's what he writes.
Explaining everything.
Yeah, that's what he writes.
Yeah, that's his trick. If you're down with that, like, and millions of people appear to be, then you're gonna dig it. But it wasn't high on my list.
Yeah, I'm expecting Ryan Gosling to carry the hell out of that film.
Oh yeah,
it super charming, just like Matt Damon kind of made The Martian really good.
Yeah,
and it's Lord and Miller. I've enjoyed
it's everything. Again, like, these stories about, like, one person saving the world, kind of.
I miss Armageddon, damn it. Send an entire team of schmarmy old men to save the fucking world.
Teach them how to drill and
days. That's right. Drill and fucking meteors.
Yeah. I also can't wait for the questions there. Who saw this Sandra Hüller person? She's really interesting. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
She's really interesting.
Slap.
Yeah, she's just going to play the stereotypical German project leader who's just, like, harsh and a ball buster. Like, this is the archetype. It's not going to be a great Sandra.
Doesn't she sing Oasis karaoke in the trailer? Come on. That's
I thought it was Harry Styles.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I only know because it was on SNL last night.
Oh, was it? Nice. Yeah. And the movie it should be, Ready or Not, Here I Come. You can't have it. That's a rule.
For a millisecond, I thought I was going to be getting a screener for it because Disney sent out sign-up forms to get screeners. And then literally the next day, they're like, we're going to do a screening instead in Vancouver. So canceling those screeners. And I'm like, no, come on.
I love the first one. I think the first one's great.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I really enjoyed the first one.
And it's really great on a rewatch too. It still holds up.
I need to rewatch it because I'm looking, I'm like, fuck, I remember seeing it. Do I remember the movie? No, I don't. So I did rate it quite highly. So Dan and I are going to be rewatching that.
It's fun. And Samara Weaving is fantastic.
She's like my favorite action star in movies right now.
Yeah. And we get Catherine Newton with her this time.
Yeah,
I love this trailer. And this cast is, like, banging.
Yeah.
And
Buffy's in it. Come
Buffy's
on.
Buffy's in it. I know. I'm all over this shit. Bring it on. That's my vote.
Yeah, I can't wait. New Sofia Coppola film, Marked by Sofia.
I'll see it. Because I love Marc Jacobs.
I even know about that one. So
yeah.
I'm like, I'm still pining the bags, guys. I'm still pining the bags.
Nice. New Christian Petzold film I saw at VIFF called Mirrors Number 3 comes out. It's good. It's not great. It's he's a really good filmmaker. So even his, like, quote-unquote not great films are pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very watchable. I don't know. I'm guessing it's very limited. It's a very arty film. There's a documentary on the Red Hot Chili Peppers called The Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Rise of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Our Brother Hillel. That's Hillel Slovak, their initial guitarist who died, and then they got Frusciante.
That is a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers in the title of that movie.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I'm sure it'll be good. Interesting stories. That band is fucked. Lots of weirdness, and for they should make a documentary on John Frusciante. That guy, like, has had a really weird life. And the one movie I missed at VIFF, because I couldn't fit in my schedule, Two Prosecutors. I really wanted to see it. Everybody said it was really great. It won awards at Cannes, and I never saw it. So hopefully, I'll be able to get to see it. But probably won't. It probably won't open here. It'll probably be open at Van City, so you guys can see it. But that's it. Ready or not?
Yep. Happening. That's the one.
Sounds like it.
Okay.
Oh, God, I hope it's good. Otherwise, Dad's going to hate me.
Well, I'm seeing it on the Thursday, and I'll tell you if you change it to Project Hail Mary, so Dan won't have a.
I don't know if that'll be much better.
Yeah. Well,
it'll probably be fine as a film.
I think Ready or Not's also an hour shorter.
Done.
Yeah, I think Project Hail Mary is 156 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an alien.
Sure.
Rocky. I see that trailer.
Communicate with
every
him.
Movie I see that trailer.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, when does Mother Mary come out? At this point, that's
April,
like that's the next marker. That's the next marker for me.
You know that
movie comes out. It comes out April 24th, and it's the same day as a movie called Eruptia comes out. The connecting thread between Mother Mary and Eruptia is Charlie XCX.
Oh yeah, okay, yes, I do know the one you're talking about.
Yeah,
I've seen that movie.
Eruptia.
I can't talk about it.
Pete Oz, who shot Obex.
Yes.
All these connections.
Yeah. So the Victoria.
Everything's connected.
That movie played the Victoria Film Festival, but they didn't get the DCP. So they played it like 3 weeks later in a non-festival setting. And they gave me a screener, and I'm not allowed to talk about it. Even though it's played.
You just did.
No, even though it's played the city and people have seen it, I'm not allowed to talk about it. So. Yeah. Okay.
Well, guys, that's like our shortest show ever. I think we're sub 1 hour.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yes, you're welcome. We won't make you suffer through other crappy things.
Not a lot of positive in that show. I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just not been great. No. But hey, Hoppers is good. So.
Yeah, no, I'm
excited. Yeah. Hoppers, Lurker. Yeah. What else was good that we talked about? Oh, The Ugly Stepsister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there were a couple of highlights.
Yeah.
I got things to watch.
Yeah.
The Paul McCartney documentary is good.
Yeah, the Paul McCartney documentary. Yeah, I liked it. Well, there we go. There we go. We'll end on a positive with the four movies we could recommend that you see.
Thank you, Melissa. That's lovely.
And Marshall's doesn't have Beth Dutton in it, so it's great.
Oh fuck. All right. Where can folks find you between now and the next time that we connect?
I am Bill Harris. I am on Blue Sky at That Bill Harris and Letterboxd at SoundJam 69, and The Green Screen of Death is recording tomorrow.
Wow.
So that should be fun. Marina's window just got bigger and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I don't know what I did. I went woo-hoo. Can I make it bigger again?
Nobody listening gets that, but
can I do a mommy moment? It didn't work.
Other than that, enjoy the next 2 weeks.
You can find me on Letterboxd at The Marina and on Instagram at The Marina. I think it's just The Marina. Fuck. Yeah, it's just whatever. Letterboxd. Miss Melissa.
You can find me on Letterboxd as at Melzy, M-E-L-S-Y.
You can find anywhere there's social media, check out The Steeble Dead and you'll find me there. You can find my website, stevestebbing.ca. I do a show on there every week with my daughter, Chloe, called What the Hell Should I Watch? Released Fridays at 9 a.m. Pacific time as a YouTube show. I am also on Tremble, the horror podcast with Kurt and Taylor. I am on Shane Hewitt and the Night Shift, which is on Toronto's News Talk 1010 every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can look that up wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And Okanagan Local, I am on Kelowna AM 1150 Fridays just after the 8:30 news break on the early edition with Gary Barnes.
Just for the record, Steve's now doing a mailbag on a show. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bomb that one day.
I do. Yeah, I added a mail segment.
Well, that's fucking happening.
Yeah.
And I'm reading out verbatim too. So
this is about to get interesting. Until next time, you can stop. You can find links to everything we talked about today on the website at atcpod.ca. Until next time.
Pack the planet.
Bye.